Thanks, team. Friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God the Father and from our suffering Savior Jesus. Amen. Once again, good evening, St. Luke's. That sounds so much more formal than good morning, doesn't it? That's all right. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're here together. I'm Pastor Dan. And during this season of Lent, our midweek services are all going to be centered around this theme that we're calling singing the blue note. Not quite singing the blues, like as an entire musical genre, although the blue note is certainly part of the blues, but specifically singing the blue note. And it's a musical term, the blue note. And there's a South African musicologist who had this to say about the blue note. He says, something that's common to the blue notes in music is that the blue notes are all lower than we would expect. Another way of saying it is that the blue note is a minor interval when we would expect a major interval. And if you're anything like me, I don't know what that means musically. But you can learn just about anything on YouTube. And so if you don't think in steps and half steps and intervals and things like that, maybe you can at least hear it. Major chords are upbeat, and major chords are cheery, and major chords sound like that. That's kind of a major chord and a happy chord. See, these are major chords. And major chords are happy, and they're cheerful, and they're strong. And the blue note, though, it takes those major chords, and where we would expect a major, it goes a little bit lower. So that the blue note goes a little more like this. And you can hear that one note right in the middle. Everything's the same. The chords are the same. No. Yeah. 10 minutes on YouTube, you can do anything. But that blue note is in all the notes that make up a chord, it's just one. One's a little off. One's a little lower. One's a little bit unexpected. And it takes what we would anticipate to be a major chord and it makes it into a minor chord. And it's that singular note in the midst of that blue note that we're going to press into for these weeks in our journey of Lent. Because the book of Psalms offers us the blue note as a gift. The Psalms invite us to sing the blue note. The Psalms invite us to linger on the blue note. And the Psalms invite us to embrace the blue note. Because just like in music, in life, there is an unexpected blue note. And the blue note is unexpected for many people of faith. For example, if you come to church or worship or faith in Jesus with the expectation that being a Christian is primarily about a positive and encouraging experience, then you're going to be disappointed. If you come to the Bible and expect the Word of God to be primarily this list of rules to help you have a fulfilling and a godly life and simple practical steps to be fulfilled here and now, then you're going to be surprised. If you come with the expectation that the life of faith, our conversation as Christians, our prayers to God and our praise to God, if you come with the expectation that it's primarily nice people smiling and talking about nice things all the time and all of our prayers are happy and clappy and joyful, then you're going to be pushed off balance. Because the Psalms give us the blue note, and the blue note gives us something that's unexpected. Listen again to the words of Psalm 13. The psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest the foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. And it's not all bad news, to be sure. There's some shiny moments in that psalm, but it's certainly not primarily positive and encouraging. It's not simple practical steps to improve your life. It's not a plastered-on smile that pretends like everything's okay. But it is real, right? It is honest. And what's more than that, Psalm 13 is God's word given to us. That prayer that I've spoken and prayed, that prayer is not an impious prayer of a bad person. It's not a kind of prayer where you're not supposed to say that. It's God's word. Isn't that startling? Like, that aggressive of a prayer, that doubt-filled, frustrated, angry prayer is actually God's word given to you. It's God's word given to you to help put words to the cries of your heart. It's God's word given to you that invites you to bring anything to God. Anything. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, this is probably going to be a stumbling block for you. But Psalm 13 is an invitation to bring anything to God. It gives you permission to offer the most impious prayers. Psalm 13, and the blue note that rings through it, invites you to call God out without dressing it up. It invites you to call God out for where he's let you down. It invites you to call God out for where he's dropped the ball. It invites you to call God out where he's failed. Because even as you're calling God out, you're calling out to God. And that's a beautiful thing. Psalm 13 gives words to our thoughts and our feelings that sometimes we didn't have words for, but even if we did, we didn't feel safe enough to admit it. It gives us words to express what wasn't safe to say to God, and it wasn't safe to talk about among his people, and it wasn't even safe to admit those thoughts and feelings to yourself. Because what would that say about your walk of faith if you admitted it? But Psalm 13 allows us to come clean. God gives us the words to be open and real and honest, to admit to him and to each other and to ourselves. Sometimes I wonder where God is. We talked about this at our staff meeting this week. Some of your staff members wonder where God is sometimes. Sometimes we wonder what makes him so hidden, and I want him to show up. And if he cares, why doesn't he? And not only is God hidden sometimes, but sometimes it feels like he's actively hiding from me. Like he doesn't want to be found. It's not like he's just waiting for me to call out to him and he's there to rescue. Sometimes I'm calling out and he's nowhere to be found. And sometimes we wonder if God has just jumped ship altogether and abandoned us. Because sometimes it looks like the bad guys are winning. And I know when we're being pious and very Christian and sincere in our faith, we're able to say, I know all things work together for those who are good. Yeah. But sometimes evil's winning. Sometimes it looks like this world has just been left by God to go down into flames, into hell, and the bad guys are winning, and the terrorists are winning, and the shooters are winning, and no one's going to be able to stop them soon, and it looks like God has abandoned us to try to figure it all out, because he's not going to help anymore, and if we can't figure it out, then the least we can do is vote in politicians and give them the power, and they'll solve it for us. And if that's the case, then we're already dead. If God's asleep on the job, if God has jumped ship, then the bad guys win. Flooding homes wins. Random fires win. School shootings win. If God's asleep on the job or has jumped ship, cancer wins. Heart disease wins. Feeding tubes get the last say. Ventilators are the final sound. If God's asleep on the job and has abandoned ship, then death gets the last laugh at our expense. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, my Lord and my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Even in that sorrowful prayer being poured out to God, there's glimpses of hope. And we have hope in the midst of that prayer because what it shows us is that God is faithful even when we can't see it. God is faithful even when we can't see it. And so we have believed and our hearts shall rejoice even if right now it's the worst. We have believed and our hearts shall rejoice even if we have no idea how long until there's any relief. We have believed and our hearts shall rejoice. Because God is abounding in steadfast love. And our salvation belongs to the Lord. The blue note sings throughout Psalm 13. And it resonates with our real lives. Not the painted on Sunday smile. But the real lives that we all have. Psalm 13 resonates because it's real to us. And we can pray that prayer as our own, but more than the ability to pray that prayer because life stinks and sometimes we know it, we can pray the prayer of Psalm 13 because we can pray it in Jesus. We can pray the words of Psalm 13 as our very own because we get to pray them in Jesus. Jesus is the voice of that psalm when it is perfected and fulfilled. He is the one who can speak the words of that psalm most purely. Imagine that first Holy Week. Jesus has a meal with his friends. He knows it's his last. You might have a friend who says something unkind on social media. Most of us haven't had a friend who's betrayed us to death. But one of Jesus' closest 12 betrayed him. Jesus was betrayed and arrested. He was tried and convicted. He was beaten and pierced and hung out to die. And can you imagine these words on his lip or running through his mind that afternoon? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Imagine Jesus on the cross looking down at his tormentors. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. And in Jesus, we see what it actually looks like for one of God's children to be forsaken by him, to be abandoned by him. God did it once to his son, and he will not do it again. And so we can cry out when it feels like we have been left alone. But because we are in Christ, we will never be left alone. You will never be left alone. And in the moment where it looked like God had abandoned his creation, that's exactly where he was making all things new. And he offers that to you, that in your weakness and in your brokenness, when you have nothing left to hold on to, his grace is sufficient for you. And so we sing and we cry and we yell and we pray and we swear, and God's big enough to handle it. To which I say, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.